One question that teachers, Zen teachers, are frequently asked is, how do I do Zen practice in my daily life? How do I take what I find in meditation and apply that in confused, difficult circumstances? So I'm talking a little bit about that today. And I'm going to talk about two ways of being, one that tends to bring suffering and another that does not tend to bring suffering. And I'm going to characterize the difference between these two things as making effort versus seeking results. So making effort involves being okay with where we are in the process. Seeking results involves a kind of dissatisfaction with our present condition. And of course, it's necessary to make plans and to have results in mind. There's definitely a place for that. And I'm not saying we shouldn't ever have plans, but I'm talking about kind of a subtle distinction in our attitude toward what we do moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day. In short, we don't want to be in results mode all of the time. We can miss our whole life that way because we're always off on in the future. Seeking results is future oriented. When we concentrate on results, it means our present circumstances aren't quite right. And our happiness lies in changing our present circumstances and reaching some other kind of state, which we've maybe visualized. And that narrows our future because the only acceptable outcome of our future is the one situation that we visualized. And because we've chosen this one idea of how things are going to be, we get attached to that idea. And if reality deviates from that idea, as it most often will, we're going to suffer. Hey, this isn't what I wanted. What I'm calling making effort, which really means just being present, doing the work, concentrating on the work itself, is present oriented. I may have a goal in mind, but I'm putting myself into the doing of it, not putting myself into anticipation of the outcome. So it's easier to change my goals as conditions change because I'm here. I'm not off in the future. It's easier to be okay with what happens, no matter what twists and turns things might take, and no matter where I may end up. So I don't need to get a certain result to be happy. I only need to put myself into the task. I need to show up. Going up against it is the thing. This moment is good, this moment here. And this is consistent with the Four Noble Truths, which the Buddha taught in his first sermon. There is suffering, and we create suffering with desire. We can end our suffering, or at least diminish it by ending our desire. So we create suffering by saying that the present moment is no good and we need to change it. But if we can accept the reality of the present moment, we do not create suffering. And there is an eightfold path to help us with this. We meditate, we act mindfully, we put in a great effort, etc. So I'm going to look at this idea in two or three different ways. And first, I'd like to go over something that the Buddha said. And this is from a book called In the Buddha's Words, an anthology of discourses from the Pali Canon, edited by Bhikkhu Bodhi. And toward the beginning of the book, there's kind of a biography of the Buddha using extracts from the Pali Canon. And the first one, it's from the Acharya Abhuta Sutta. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And it's about the Buddha's conception and birth. And it starts out, "Thus have I heard, On one occasion, the Blessed One was living at Savati in Jeta's Grove, Anatta Pindika's Park, as these often start out. And it begins with a number of monks are hanging out in the assembly hall. And they had just returned from their alms round, and a discussion arose among them. "It is wonderful, friends, it is marvelous how mighty and powerful is the Tathagata being the Buddha. For he is able to know about the Buddhas of the past, etc." And so they're praising the Buddha here. And when someone said this, the Venerable Ananda, the Buddha's attendant, the person who is narrating this sutta, said to the monks, "Friends, Tathagatas are wonderful and have wonderful qualities. Tathagatas are marvelous and have marvelous qualities." However, their discussion was interrupted, for the Blessed One rose from meditation when it was evening, went to the assembly hall, and sat down on a seat made ready. Then he addressed the monks thus, "Monks, for what discussion are you sitting together here now? And what was your discussion that was interrupted?" So basically, he's just asking, okay, what are you guys talking about? And I think he's looking for a teaching moment here. Ananda tells him what they were talking about. And the Blessed One says, "That being so, Ananda, explain more fully the Tathagata's wonderful and marvelous qualities. Tell me more about how wonderful I am." And I don't think he's doing this because of ego, because he needs to hear it. I think he senses a teaching moment here. And I think maybe he senses that, oh, they're getting off in kind of a strange direction here. So Ananda then recites all of this stuff. Each paragraph begins, "I heard and learned this, Venerable Sir, from the Blessed One's own lips." And he recites all these wonderful, miraculous incidents in having to do with the Buddha's conception and birth, that the Buddha resided in Tushita heaven, and that eventually he passed away from the Tushita heaven and descended into his mother's womb. And when that happened, an immeasurable great radiance surpassing the divine majesty of the Devas appeared in the world. These are just little excerpts. It goes on with beautiful imagery. "And this 10,000-fold world system shook, quaked, and trembled. The Buddha's mother, when the Buddha descends into her womb, became intrinsically virtuous. She gave birth to him standing up. He came forth unsullied, unsmeared by water, humors, or any kind of impurity, clean and unsullied. Two jets of water appeared to pour from the sky, one cool and one warm, for bathing the Bodhisattva and his mother. He took seven steps immediately upon being born," etc. So after all of that, this is Ananda reciting this. Then the Buddha says, "That being so, Ananda, remember this too as a wonderful and marvelous quality of the Tathagata. Hear, Ananda, for the Tathagata feelings are known as they arise, as they are present, as they disappear. Perceptions are known as they arise, as they are present, as they disappear. Thoughts are known as they arise, as they are present, as they disappear. Remember this too, Ananda, as a wonderful and marvelous quality of the Tathagata." So this sutra here has really taken a little turn. After this recitation of all the magical, wonderful things that the Buddha does, all of these qualities that he has, the Buddha steps in and he says, wait a minute, Ananda. There are dazzling miracles aplenty here, but there's something else going on too. You can go inside and you can watch as thoughts arise and disappear, as feelings arise and disappear. So there's this marvelous thing that can happen, which is simply being present with what's going on. So the first part is all these dazzling miracles. And in a way, I think this is results oriented. I think the monks hanging out together were feeling kind of results oriented because they're thinking about how the Buddha has all these incredible, miraculous qualities. And maybe we can get them too. We want the qualities. We want the miracles. We want the stuff. And this is what the monks are hung up on. We want to be like the Buddha. And the Buddha sees this and he gives them a different view. Here's what you can do. You can go inside. You can be present as things arise and disappear. And so this is very present oriented. Forget the miracles. Forget the result. And there's a footnote here from Bhikkhu Bodhi, which says that the Buddha's statement shows that he believes that the true wonder and marvel is the wonder and marvel of being present with what arises. So this reads a little bit like a koan. Often in a koan, typically the student is stuck in separateness, makes an observation indicating that the student feels a separation between himself and the world or between two things or herself and the world. Or there's the wonderful Buddha and there's me and how can I become the Buddha? And the teacher comes along and snaps the student back into the present. Well, what about this? What about what's arising right now? So that's what happens here. Back to the present. So results versus effort. Another way to look at this, I'm sure many of you were at Ben's talk last week, and I really enjoyed that talk. And there was something he said in that that really got me started on this track that led to today's talk. And he was talking about how he was up north at a Line 3 protest, a pipeline protest, and how a Native American elder there had said something that had a great impact on him. And I hope I have the words exactly right here. The words were, "I hope you show up in a good way." And Ben talked about that, about how this means that how you show up is the important thing. It's not about what you accomplish. It's what you bring to a situation. And you know, we have a long, long road here when it comes to social justice, whatever our own idea of social justice is. And if we always focus on the immediate outcome, we might become discouraged pretty easily. But if we focus on building our ability to respond, to show up, to do the work, to be strong, then we'll be doing all that we can. Something we can sustain for a long time. It's about how we are. And I feel like when it comes to practicing Zen in daily life, and you know, I'm still learning, I'm still deepening my practice all the time. I feel like I'm getting a little better at just showing up, doing the stuff, knowing that it's the doing of the stuff that matters, knowing that a good result may occur and it may not, but getting less excited about the results, being less needy for a good result, knowing that it's showing up in a good way that's going to bring me happiness. And this reminds me a little of something that Norman Fisher said, I think the last time he was here, and I'm paraphrasing, it's been a while, but I think he had just spent some time in a monastery, and he said something like, you know, when you're in the monastery, things kind of even out. You might have a really great day one day, but you know, it's not going to last forever. You know, it's going to get hard again pretty soon. And you might have a really terrible day, a really terrible few hours, but you know, it's going to pass. It might be the result of fatigue and you're going to get some rest. It's going to be better again. So you have all of these highs and these lows. And in a monastery, after a while, you just don't worry about that too much. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's bad. Whatever. I'm just going to keep going here. So you might say, and this is me talking now, not Norman, that you don't need to feel good to be happy. And that may sound like kind of a contradiction. It may sound a little bit like a Yogi Berra-ism, but I think it makes sense. You don't have to feel good to be happy. And a good day for me, or hopefully this is what I'm, you know, moving toward, is not necessarily a day when I feel good and get a lot of rewards. It's not necessarily a day when I've accomplished something wonderful and crossed everything off my list. A good day for me is the one that I bring my best self to. It may be a terrible day, but maybe I dealt with that terrible day well. Maybe I never checked out even though it was hard. Maybe I felt badly, but I kept going. So I'd like to tell you briefly about a couple of my recent days. Sorry to talk about myself so much, but I think it may be helpful. So Sunday, 1 week ago today, I had a day where I felt really energetic. I felt great physically. I've been taking better care of myself, eating better and working out now that I'm able to get out of the house. So I went to the gym and I worked out that morning and I had a lot of energy and I did all that prior to 9 o'clock. And then I did the sitting with the group and listened to the Dharma talk and drove to Zen Center for Dokusan by the lake and a meeting with someone and worked in the yard in the afternoon, very relaxing for me. Went out with Kathy in the evening. We went to Sea Salt in at Minnehaha Falls. It's our favorite restaurant because everybody's there, every kind of person. It's great. And it was a great day. And I just felt, I felt great. But that night, I didn't sleep very well. Sometimes after a good day, I get kind of revved up and I don't sleep very well. And I think I was physically tired from my workout. And Monday morning, I woke up really early. And almost as soon as I woke up, I just knew it was going to be a really hard day. I just knew that I wasn't going to feel very good, but I had a lot of stuff I needed to do anyway. I would just have to do it. But acknowledging that, whoa, it's going to be a tough day, was really kind of liberating. I don't have to feel good. I don't have to waste my energy thinking about how it should be different. I'll just do it. Maybe I'll just do it as my offering to all beings. This is what I have to give. And I put in a long, very productive day. I sat Zazen with the group. I replied to some emails. I had a Dokusan, had a construction committee meeting, went to a memorial service, attended the tail end of a tech committee meeting, and finished the day with a meeting of the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility Committee. So a lot of meetings. And I was tired, but it was a great day. I didn't always feel good, but it was a great day. I brought myself to it. And lately, I've actually been really, really lucky because in my role at MZMC, I have a lot of projects going at once. And there are important things with the reopening and everything. And this really focuses my attention. I have to do it. And there's the teaching and administration that I always do, but then also the reopening and working with volunteers and things. So I'm in kind of a work vortex right now. And yesterday we had a work day and it was really great. I think we had 8 people in the morning and 7 in the afternoon, and we made a lot of progress, a lot of cleaning. It's really dusty in there. And we did a lot of cleaning and then we moved some things around. And by the way, if any of you would like to be on our volunteer list, just let me know and I'll put you on that list and I'll let you know when these opportunities to help out come up. Actually, since I'm here talking about the building, this gives me a chance to sneak in a little building update. Things are looking pretty good. The construction workers are almost finished. The last big thing is to put down the new Zendo floor. And hopefully they'll be doing that this week. And once they get the Zendo floor down, they will clean the main floor and we'll be able to start setting things up. But the Zendo floor is taking a little longer than we thought it might. So it's possible, you know, I've been telling folks that August 1st, Sunday, August 1st is our likely reopening date. We may have to move it back to August 8th. We don't know yet. I think we'll be able to decide this week and we'll let you know. But at any rate, we'll be in there together pretty soon. And and it'll be great. So that's what's going on with the building. And after the workday yesterday, we had the Sangha picnic, and it was wonderful. It was at Dharma Field, and we had a lot of people. The food was just incredible. Of course, I haven't been to a potluck for a year and a half. Great to see everybody in person. Great to meet some people in person I've never met in person before. And so what a day. What a day. It was a long day. I was happy and I was feeling good. But tomorrow, who knows? It may be a really tough day. I may be really worn out from all of that. But that's okay. And I'm really lucky to have all of these challenges right now, all of these balls in the air at the same time, because it forces me into a place where really the only solution is to let go. The only solution is to hold it all lightly and to not focus on results too much. And of course, the results are important, and I'll do my best to get good results. But I'm not going to try to control things I can't control. I'm not going to agonize if things don't match my fantasy view of what they should be. And not everyone is so lucky to have this kind of work vortex going on, but anyone with a little effort, a little imagination, can set themselves a task, something that is going to challenge them to the point where they really need to let go. A long retreat is like that. But you can approach your daily life in that way too. Every day is an epic and monumental challenge if you bring yourself to it. And maybe now, as things are changing, as we're coming out of isolation, resuming normal life, we have this chance to maybe reinvent ourselves a little bit, to be really deliberate about our lives. So yeah, and then just one more thing to kind of approach this this topic is actually, I don't think I'm going to do that. Sorry. So back to the building. I will say we never had to have this building. We never had to have it in the form that we're ending up with. Our happiness didn't depend on that, but we do have it, and it's beautiful, and it's going to help us to practice the Dharma together, share the Dharma with other people, day by day, moment to moment, just doing the stuff, not focusing too much on the results. And that's what I have to say this morning.